The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations present From the Pacific. On this program, Monday through Friday each week, you hear NBC correspondents overseas. You listen to American fighting men in far distant places telling their experiences. Conducting the program, NBC commentator Wilson Foster, who not long ago brought you eyewitness accounts direct from Pacific battlefronts. Mr. Foster.
How do you do, everyone? Now we've learned the results of the first atomic bomb dropped on Japan. The city of Hiroshima has been 60% destroyed, and practically all living things, human and animal, were literally seared to death by the tremendous heat and pressure engendered by the blast. American reconnaissance photos confirm that 4 1/10 square miles, 60% of the buildup area of the city, had vanished, almost without trace, in the world's greatest explosion. Well, friends, that briefly is the story. Today, NBC's From the Pacific broadcast initiates a round-robin discussion of the atomic bomb between veteran NBC correspondents Robert McCormick, who is here with us in our San Francisco studios, George Thomas Folster, NBC bureau chief at 20th Air Force headquarters on Guam, and yours truly, Wilson Foster. Before we open our conversation with George Folster on Guam, we want to take a moment to welcome back Bob McCormick, who has just ended his second tour of duty in the Pacific. Bob McCormick has long been one of radio's finest overseas reporters, an excellent writer, and we feel an outstanding example of the kind of men who bring you the day-by-day story of our war against Japan. Welcome home, Bob.
Well, thank you. It isn't hard to say that I'm glad to be home, either.
Well, Bobby, let's get right into this From the Pacific special today and learn more about this atomic bomb business. As you know, we have our old friend George Thomas Folster out there on Guam listening in and standing by waiting to answer any questions we can think of within the limits of censorship. Well, let's find out first if he's really there. How about it, George? Are you out there?
Standing by for you, Bob, and standing by for all your questions from San Francisco around the atomic bomb.
Well, this is Bob, George. You know, it seems as though every time I leave the Pacific for a rest back here, the biggest story of the year breaks. Last year when I left, it was Pearl. When I left Pearl Harbor, Foster here walked in on the Second Battle of the Philippine Sea. Now I leave Guam, and you fall into the story of the first atomic bomb.
Well, Bob, we could have used you here today, I can tell you that. But I remember when we stood by and scratched the news, and you scooped the world, too. Well, now, what's on your mind this morning over there in San Francisco?
Well, we've got some questions about the atomic bomb, George. Now, we know it's 2:30 a.m. tomorrow morning out there. Kind of a terrible time to be up and about broadcasting. And we also know you've had all of 4 hours sleep in the last 72. Well, let's see if you can do anything for us on a few questions. How about it?
Yes, I'm come.
All right. Well, George, aren't you just a little bit nervous even being on the same island with one of those atomic bombs?
Well, we'd better skip that. That's one of the things the enemy would like to know, too. Not how I feel, but where the base is. As you know, we have so many bases out here now, so many that can handle a big B-29, that it could be one of many places out here. Well, what else now?
This is McCormick again, George.
Yes.
Well, how do you people feel now that this bomb is a reality? How long do you think it will take us to finish off the Jap war industries now?
Well, Bob, I'm glad you asked that. The way the rank and file feel out here is two-sided at least. And they talk of nothing else, just as I imagine you are talking at home there these days. The men out here all have one common reaction. This will or it should shorten the war and get them home all the quicker. It really has. I mean, their reactions have little to do with the destruction of Japan's war potentiality as such. It's more on the basis of, my God, the Japs can't stand this. This thing simply vaporizes them. They must give up. Then there is the other side, brought on by the realization that man has uncovered a monster. Well, surely this power could be a monster if it ever fell into the wrong hands. They always add that, Bob, if it ever fell into the wrong hands. And the number of air-fighting men who say that they wish that man had failed in this search surprises me. I think that you will admit, though, that that's a good, healthy Christian spirit.
That sounds mighty fine, doesn't it, Bob?
That's wonderful.
Well, George, this is Foster again. Do you think it's going to eliminate the necessity of an invasion of the Jap homeland? I mean this atomic bomb business.
It's a very terrible weapon, the atomic bomb, but it has to be used, and only time can tell if we'll have to invade or not. We wiped out, as you told the audience when you opened up, 60% of Hiroshima with one bomb. But that's only one city, Wilson, that we can wish and hope and while the boys fight, that atomic bomb will shorten the war.
And of course, if Japan surrenders without our invading, so much the better. Now, has Bob got a question there?
Well, yes. Are there any reactions around headquarters there, George, on the possibility of another surrender ultimatum to the Japs?
Well, that's one I can't answer, really, except to say for myself and a few men I've been able to talk to out here, why not? It might have more effect now than before we drop that atom smasher.
Well, George, what I'm wondering about is, how are the planes going to carry these terrible weapons over Japan? Are they going to be in formation bombings, or are they going to be in single-plane raids?
Well, I'm sorry, that's off the record. But anyway, I don't know.
Well, this is McCormick again, George.
Yes, Bob.
I suppose this question is taboo, too, but can you tell us how large are these bombs?
Well, now let's say that it's big enough to wipe out 60% of a city, about 345,000. But that's one plane and one bomb. I haven't the slightest idea on that one, either. Bob, I'm sorry.
No dimensional answer to there, Bob. I knew we shouldn't have asked that one question. Why don't you try again?
Well, I will try again. How do the reconnaissance pictures look, George? I remember seeing them for the other B-29 raids, but have you seen these pictures, and was it really a knockout business?
Well, I've seen the pictures. I just took another look at them, and I thought you'd want to know that. I saw both the before and the after pictures, and they're very clear ones, too. That city is bombed out, except just around the edges. I looked at them with a magnifying glass, and there is one thing that impresses me. And for the want of better words, I'll say that the rubble looked clean. You get the picture, parts of that city just disappeared.
Oh, it's wonderful.
That sounds very, very good here, too. George, Mac and I are wondering if we're going to follow the same policy on atomic bombing of pre-warning the Japanese cities.
Well, I do know that we're going to drop millions of leaflets telling the Japs that this bomb has been dropped. Now, naturally, with their close censorship up there, they probably haven't told the folks in the other cities that Hiroshima's wiped out. And there'll be more dropped if they don't see the light. Does that answer the question?
I think so. Very fine, George.
And I think it sure will add to the psychological effect. And don't you agree that the psychological reaction on the Japs' part is just as important in this case as the blast itself?
Yes, I certainly agree with you on that. How about you, Bob?
Oh, I think it's more important. Well, just one thing more, George. Do you think these atomic bomb raids will curtail our other war activities, other raids out there?
Oh, no, not at all. From what I can see, and you haven't been away so long yourself, we're going ahead full blast. No, sir, not one punch will be pulled. This atom smasher, city vanisher, is just, well, let's call it something new has been added.
Very good answer out there, Georgie. Now, we mentioned psychology here a moment ago. Let's get back onto the psychological aspects, George. Do you think this could be a one-time raid such as General Jimmy Doolittle's, planned merely for psychological reasons?
You mean like his first one over Tokyo?
Yes, that's right.
I think not. I think there must be others. First of all, there are signs, if we look for them, one dispatch I'm sure you saw told a special crews, and get the S, crews who would man the planes that would carry these bombs over Japan. Things like that indicate the continuance of these super cosmic raids. And I just can't see us starting this kind of a show if we didn't intend to follow it up. And of course, what are we talking about? There are those leaflets. That clinches it. I'd say that there'll be more if the Japs insist, follows.
Well, that sounds all right, George. Just as long as they want to keep it up, well, that's strictly up to them. What do you think, Bob?
Oh, the longer and bigger, the better.
Well, George, I think that's just about all the questions that I have from this end. Bob McCormick, do you have any more you'd like to ask at this time?
No, I think that clears a lot of things up for me.
George, we could probably both of us think of a lot more questions to ask you, but we know the censorship situation, and we're not going to embarrass you by having you come back with a reply saying, fellas, I can't tell you that one. But many thanks out there for a very swell job, George Thomas Folster on the island of Guam. I think, George, you better try for a little sleep. And right now.
I'll meet you again soon, fellow, so on, and thanks a lot.
And thank you, and the best of luck to you, George Thomas Folster. Well, now, Bob McCormick, anything you'd like to add here before we continue on with the broadcast?
Well, yes, Bud. Some of what George says has given me a couple of ideas about these new bombs. It occurs to me, for example, that the development of the bombs may explain some of the rather startling optimism we all noticed out in the Pacific. I talked about this wave of optimism while I was still there. And it did astonish me because I remembered when it was almost impossible to find any top Navy man who figured on the war being over in less than several years. Now they're talking in terms of months. We haven't been told, so far as I know, whether we can turn out these bombs in quantity, and of course, judging from what the first one did, we won't need many of them to wipe Japan off the face of the earth. But if we do have a lot of them, we don't have to rely entirely on the B-29s to carry them. We've been told that British planes will operate in the Pacific, and it's logical to suppose that they'll use one of their big bombers, probably their Lancasters, and that they'll be based at Okinawa. Now, if a B-29 can carry one of these bombs, then a Lancaster can also. And once the Lancasters start their atomic shuttle service over Japan, the Japs will be done. And on the subject of invading the Jap homeland, the bomb might be extremely useful in that little job, too. It might very well end the Japs' underground fighting, for example. From what I've read of the way the bomb behaves, it would burn or blast the Japs right out of their caves and blockhouses and trenches. And then their very last defense would be gone. For without these underground fortifications, you know just as well as I, probably better, that the Japs would be completely helpless. And it seems to me as though these bombs just behave like large, overgrown flamethrowers. And maybe flamethrowers combined with bulldozers. And that what caves and trenches they won't burn out, they'll simply crush. So any way you look at the new bomb, if it's even half as good as even the Japs say it is, it certainly will shorten the war by months and maybe by years.
Oh, fine, Bobby McCormick, and many thanks to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the latest word from Radio Tokyo, and we quote. Tokyo quoted authorized quarters in the Japanese capital today as saying that the United States was violating Article 22 of the Hague Convention and showing disregard for humanity. The broadcast made no mention either of the fact that Japan did not subscribe to the Hague Convention. Tokyo also disclosed that the Japanese cabinet met in special session this morning to hear a report on the raid. Dr. Hiroshi Shimomura, president of the Japanese Board of Information, simultaneously was received by Emperor Hirohito. The charge that the United States had violated international law was aired by Tokyo after it had broadcast vivid description of the death and destruction left by the atomic bomb in Hiroshima on Monday. International law lays down the principle that belligerent nations are not entitled to unlimited choice in the means by which to destroy their opponents, Tokyo said, and this is what they call authorized quarters. Now, this is made clear by Article 22 of the Hague Convention. Consequently, any attack by such means against open towns and defenseless citizens are unforgivable actions, so says Tokyo. We continue the quotation. The United States ought to remember at the beginning of the fighting in China, they protested to Japan on numerous occasions in the name of humanity against smaller raids carried out by Japan. And despite the Japanese reference to Hiroshima as an open city, it was known to be a quartermaster depot and a garrison town of considerable military importance. Tokyo newspapers referred to the bombing as a sadistic atrocity and called the United States the eternal enemy of humanity. The newspaper Mainichi promised that the government would work out effective countermeasures to protect civilians. Asahi Shimbun appealed to the people to remain calm and renew pledges to continue to resist. And that's the latest word from Radio Tokyo. Now, one official American source has later on estimated the Japanese dead and wounded might exceed 100,000 people in Hiroshima. Five major war plants and scores of smaller factories, office buildings, and dwellings were known to have been leveled. Only a few skeletons of concrete buildings remained in the obliterated area. Additional damage outside the totally destroyed section still was being assessed. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, NBC's From the Pacific broadcast has presented a three-way conversation between veteran NBC war correspondents discussing the new atomic bomb. You've heard Robert McCormick until just recently, NBC's bureau chief at Fleet Headquarters on Guam, speaking from our San Francisco studios. George Thomas Folster replying to our questions and speaking directly from Guam. And this is Wilson Foster speaking and saying goodbye until tomorrow.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.